The Western Huddle Podcast with Embers, Zave and Tom for everything AFL. Thanks to our mates at RAC Insurance, featuring the biggest names in WA and all the breaking news.
Big week of footy over here in the West. Welcome to the Western Huddle. Thanks to our mates at RAC Insurance. There's been big weeks in footy. I remember when Ross Lyon got the lemon and sauce from Frio, but this week it's West Coast turn to take some of the heat. Embers, yes. Welcome to you.
Good
after
you,
their thrashing by Hawthorn on the weekend, what have you made of everything
well,
the last
officially
couple of
West
days?
Coast, worst ever loss in the club history. That's pretty evident. To be beaten by the team ranked 18th in the competition. 18th they were, and they got lost by 116 points.
But you're an investor in games at times. What did you think was going to happen on Saturday?
Oh, I thought Hawthorn would win by probably 7 to 8 goals.
Yeah, I thought over 10.
Yeah, so it was... and for that to happen just shows where West Coast are at the moment. We know the problems. And this is the thing for mine, right? We understand that West Coast list is not good, but at the start of the year, no one expected them to go well anyway. Now they've lost a lot of players, so they're in this position. If I'm a board member of the West Coast Eagles, I'm making a phone call to the rest of the board members, and I'm having a meeting, an emergency meeting. You have to do that on the back of what happened on the weekend. And then I think it's a really simple question. You don't actually have to go through and find out why, because we know why, okay? But what is the path forward? And you ask that question.
Well, they're not even at the start line.
Well, that's right. But what does it look like moving forward as a football club? Mm. And you get the senior management to be able to discuss that and tell you a plan. Now, if you believe in that plan and the direction that the club are going, and you believe that the current management are the group to navigate West Coast through these uncertain times, and you come out this week and you put your hand up and say, you know what, we back this club in.
Yeah.
But if you don't believe in the direction, or you don't believe that the right people are in charge to be able to take the club forward, then as a board, your responsibility to your members, your supporters, is to say, we need change. And that's where I think West Coast are at right now.
If I was to ask you over or under, will West Coast win a flag by 2030, so 7 years away? It's a long time.
It's a long time.
It's hard to see you getting on track, though, before then.
I haven't seen West Coast in this position before. Now, I was part of a team that won a wooden spoon in 2010. Yeah. But as we know, West Coast won a prelim the following year. There is no way that this current group
Well, what year is Andy Brayshaw in at Fremantle across the road? Would he be year six?
Yeah.
So 6 years and Fremantle is still not locked in the eight. Mm-hmm. He's still tracking in the right direction. But rebuilds take a lot of time.
One thing I will say about West Coast, and right now there looks like there is no light at the end of the tunnel, right? But in the next 2 years, right, you say McGovern, Nick Natanui, Luke Shuey, Andrew Gaff, Jack Darling, Elliot Yeo. Jamie Cripps are not going to be there. Now, that gives an enormous amount of money in your salary cap, right, to be able to either go and get a player if you want to, or you go to the draft, you know,
Would West Coast be desirable at all at the stage for anyone, regardless of money?
Maybe not yet, but the one thing about West Coast is, as I said, they do find a way. They are a very strong club, and they aren't going to be like no disrespect to a North Melbourne that have been down the bottom for a long time. They've got a supporter base. They've got, you know, enormous amount of, you know, sponsorship, advertising, all the rest of it. They will move, and they'll move quickly. But
I'm not convinced.
But right now, it doesn't look like that, no.
The damning thing, I think, talking to a few friends who are West Coast fans, was they actually thought they could play finals this year. Mm. And if you listen to Ryan's interview with Paul Fitzpatrick last night, he said the aim this year was to play finals at the start of the year. Now, I think most of us thought they would go under their win total, which I think the bookies had at 10. But internally, the message from the club's been, we aim this year to play finals.
Yeah. Do you think every club does that, though?
Well, I think you can't with their list.
No, North Melbourne and that wouldn't.
Surely, when you look at their list and their injury history and what was happening, you couldn't think that they could play finals this year. Or they were... Oh, delusional is not the... Maybe that is the word. They thought they could play finals this year. And if that was the case, you can't rock up in round one, set for a clash, knowing what your draw is going to be without the injuries, to Melbourne and lose to North Melbourne.
At quarter time in that third game... You know, they're beating Fremantle, looking pretty good. They've beaten GWS the week before. They don't lose all those injuries. Potentially, they're 2-1 to start the season. I totally agree with you. West Coast were never probably going to play finals this year.
Nah.
But...
And their recruitment and their list management the last 5 years, which when you compete for a premiership, is where they've gone wrong. So they've Last night I was up late, pretty bored with the baby.
Yeah.
So they've recruited 32 players in the last 5 years in the draft, right? If I named them to you, I reckon half of them you wouldn't have heard of. And only one of them right now would be in their best 22, and that's Reuben Jinbe.
Out of
32. So they've got that gap where they've got the senior players, and because they've been competing for a flag,
they
don't have the top draft picks, but they've missed on every pick between 20 and 40 for the last 5 years, which is why they don't have the young players coming through.
Having said that, COVID's probably been in the middle of it all there, and you're throwing darts there, 20 to 40 during COVID.
Clubs have been successful in
letting clubs off the hook with the COVID time because there was no footy to pick from. So, it's shit. They're not even at the start line. I think they need to move on as maximum as you possibly can. Unfortunately, some club greats, there's been a lot of generosity shown towards those players and a lot of care and empathy towards their careers. I think that needs to stop.
Yep. No, I totally agree with that.
I was at a footy club where Luke Hodge was sent. I was at a footy club where Sam Mitchell was sent. I was at a footy club where Jordan Lewis was sent. Grant Birchall, four-time premiership players. They've done an absolute shitload for Hawthorn and still finished elsewhere. So,
and if you can move those players on, there is no way that clubs can hold on to anyone else.
Is there a second-round pick? Like, there's no first-round players available.
Yeah.
There's not one.
The only person out of all
McGovern
those guys,
and for
potentially,
Darlene,
Darlene, Elliot Yeo and McGovern are really the only three seconds.
Yeah.
So West Coast have to, this all has to be put on the table right now. Those players that we've spoken about, and, you know, they are life members. They are legends of the football club.
That's my point. They are good at some stage.
And yes, right now they're probably thinking, you know, what about me? But there is no way that, in my opinion, you are offering any person at the West Coast Eagles over 30 years of age a 2-year contract right now.
Yeah, I think that's the case that's happened.
That is in my opinion, that's bad management. Like, you don't need to hold on to these guys because they have given so much, but they are not part of West Coast next premiership.
No.
So why?
I don't think there's many on the list at the moment that will be on the part of the next premiership. I think, and they said play the kids, which they have done. All the playing the kids has done is also ruled out that they're not part of the future as well, I think, on a lot. So
it's shown up there. They've missed their picks the last 5 years, or they haven't developed their talent enough. Now, there is sort of 8 guys we don't know about. So you got Hewitt and Hoff and Cully and Bazza
and
Luke Edwards, Chesser
and
Barnett.
Yes.
There is some hope from
and those
that.
Guys we're not convinced on, like a Hoff, etc. And I made the comment yesterday, and it was go to Claremont in the footy club you were at, or go to West Perth last year, we won the flag. The players playing on the weekend, I said 10. I don't think they would be in the top 5 at West Perth.
They
simply wouldn't be in the top 5. So now they're playing AFL.
Yeah.
They're just not AFL players. And whether they get to the
and
stage of playing
fault.
AFL,
it's not their fault. Normally, you come into a system for 4 or 5 years and you're playing probably 50 to 70 waffle games before you actually get your opportunity.
So look at Will Day. What's he in his 3rd year or 4th year?
Okay, fourth.
Fourth. So it's some young kids take time and they don't get thrown to the wolves straight away. Like,
well, Will Day was injured for a couple of years.
Yeah, but someone like Hoff or someone's in his 2nd year of football. He's been asked to do a lot last year, hasn't had time to develop in a system because of injuries and COVID for a long period of time to play 6 or 8 games in the waffle to build up football, be developed properly.
Some of these kids need 2 years in the waffle.
Well,
not
talking,
6 games,
probably,
2 years.
We're talking about getting thrown at the wolves. Like, Jinbe is a perfect example of that. I mean, this young kid, I mean, he's played on some of the best midfielders in the competition right now. He's, playing as a tagger. I mean, he's getting beaten up because of the fact that he's playing against guys that have got, you know, mature bodies. I mean, I don't know what he did on the weekend, Jinbe, but, he looks like he needs a rest so badly, the kid. He needs to get out of the middle. He needs to go to halfback and just, you know, have some free football and let him just sort of, run around there because it's not good for him.
The weekend looked as though they're uncompetitive, but they just didn't have that desire to chase and tackle and, like, basic footy skills, like people dropping marks and missing targets and all that stuff.
But that's not passion. I think that's ability.
Yeah.
Like, you've still got to have the aerobic ability to chase. You've still got to have the speed as an ability to run people down. You've got to have the ability to hit targets. They don't have
that
ability.
Bad recruiting or bad development?
But we just said eight of the players haven't had the process of development installed in them.
But the mid-year guys have, so you're O'Neill, Rotham, Foley.
I'd just say they're misses.
Yeah, there is definitely concern around, the whole list management. You know, when you have a look at, most of the players in West Coast group right now that have had the soft tissues are the guys post 30 years of age. So did West Coast keep those players, too long?
But you can't get rid of all of them because they don't have the mid-tier guys there to provide the experience.
Because they're not playing anyway. They're not playing.
So, like you go into next year and all of a sudden you've got a whole lot of young kids, and who's going to lead and show them? You've got Tim Kelly and Duggan, and that's it.
I totally get that. But you know what Sam Mitchell done? He's done the complete opposite to what you're just saying, and he got criticised for it. You know, he's got rid of Mitchell, he's got rid of Jager O'Meara, he's got all the kids, and you look at that group right now and you go, you know what?
In fairness to Hawthorn, and I had a foot in either camp, obviously. Yeah. I was like, shit, there. Look, Weddle in his first year had 28 and kicked two.
Yeah.
But so Hawthorn's been bottom for how many years? So you can't say that the process has worked yet. Like, they're still second bottom on the ladder.
I get that. But what you saw from the weekend, I know they were playing against West Coast. You
know, Hawthorn haven't been that bad this year.
They've actually been a lot better.
They should have won more games.
Yeah. But they haven't got these senior leaders there at the club.
Leave a couple. So they leave Bruce and they leave Sicily in that. So West Coast can leave Duggan.
Sicily's young.
Yeah, they can leave Duggan and Sheed and Kelly
and Tom Barris.
Leave if they set the right standards at the footy club.
Yeah.
They stay. If it's just coasting along now because people have made money and they've won flags, then you probably, they might want to re-spark in their life too and maybe move into
And that's the thing, like, you know, like Jeremy McGovern, great opportunity for him to potentially spend 2 years with his brother at Carlton, like, and go and play with him. Like, Jeremy McGovern's
just as bad as going playing at West Coast.
Jeremy McGovern's, you know, an absolute genuine star, but you know, does he want to try to reinvent himself, you know, at another club? And he might just go, you know what, just I'm happy to stay at West Coast and get another contract.
Well,
and
Brisbane, knock on your door and go warm weather.
Yeah.
Established key Something position player, Nick, good team.
Nick Natanui, great example. Like, Nick Nat's not going to win a premiership at the West Coast Eagles, right? He's got maybe 12 months. You know, a side might say, let's just give him an opportunity. Go to Sydney, the SCG, on a smaller ground, play every second week maybe at the SCG and see if you can...
I don't think you can play every second week.
Well, though. That's the thing. So, but play on a smaller ground, that might just protect him. I don't know.
Like, Luke Hodge found a new lease on bloody life when he moved away. Grant Birchall did. The Sam Mitchell started his coaching career. Jordan Lewis loved his time at the Melbourne Footy Club.
And you're making a great point. I mean, these players that you're talking about are absolute Hawthorn greats.
Four-timers.
Yeah. So if they can move to another club, you know, that model you need to actually seriously look at.
So there's two, and it's not about the pick you get back for them, because they got nothing for those guys.
No.
What it does is then provide opportunity, so you're not playing, the guys aren't taking up space.
But also salary cap space too.
Yeah, like, the salary cap space is a big
Jeremy
one.
McGovern's, looking at a 2-year contract, that's over $1 million.
Because if those guys are all playing this year, if Shuey, Yo, if they were playing, you wouldn't be able to play Jinby, Hewitt, and those guys, because those guys would be taking their position.
Mm.
So they've almost got to move some of them off to then provide opportunity so these kids can actually play every week.
But this is not by design by West Coast. At Hawthorn, it was by design moving Mitchell.
People,
this is just luck or unlucky or bad management.
And I think we need to make it really clear too. Like, it's not the old boys' fault here. Like, these guys we're talking about, your McGoverns, your Shueys, your Hearns, like, they have been absolutely sensational stars for this football club over a long period of time. As you know, there comes a time when you're no longer the player that you once were. And what's best for the football club potentially is for these guys to either go to another club or move forward.
We see, I just thinking of Taylor Adams is playing a different role at Collingwood at the moment.
Yeah.
Bit of forward stuff. Yeah. If Taylor Adams does a bit of soft tissue or whatever, I'm not surprised. He did that big groin. If Adam Treloar does another hamstring, I'm not surprised. That's what their bodies are now doing to them.
West Coast have
just got six of them.
They've done it really well, Collingwood. So moved on from a couple of guys, but actually then got guys in for roles, because they went and obviously got Tom Mitchell because they, you know, needed an inside mid, and they've gone up in sort of clearance differential.
And they looked after Pendlebury by setting him to half back a little bit.
Side bottom and Pendles are they look like they're having the funnest time of their careers at the moment.
Absolutely. They're enjoying their footy, don't
they? West Coast should go and pay their strength and conditioning coach and just...
But they're the same strength and conditioning coach that won a flag for them.
Yeah.
Exact same.
Yeah, correct.
So, like, it's not like they haven't ever reached any heights.
Yeah. If they won a second flag, so what, 2019, Willy Rioli happened on the eve of that final, I think, against Geelong.
Yeah, and they haven't recovered since.
No, in 2020 they lost, I think, the last game to Hawthorn and then lost their final.
Yeah, that was a killer. And then they got robbed by a point over here, was it?
Against Collingwood.
Yeah.
So they missed the top four by percentage because they lost that last game.
That Hawthorn, they should have been top four easily.
Double chance.
Hawthorn got them over here on Friday night, I reckon, maybe.
And then they run to 2021 where they were going good at the bye. And then lost, I think, 9 of their last 11 and the wheels fell off. And
they won a flag 5 years ago.
Exactly.
I reckon a club would say, there's 10 clubs out there that would be desperate to... give it to us relentlessly for 10 years if we can win a flag. Yeah. Like,
so they deserve the criticism. They just need a clear path and make some decisions and just find their own West Coast. The people out there criticising the Tim Kelly trade, I heard David King talk about it, and he summed it up really well. If you were presented with that trade, you'd do it again.
Well, same as Luke Jackson at Fremantle.
Every day of the week.
Yeah. If a good player lands in your lap, says no to it?
Tim Kelly's actually, this year's been outstanding. The footy that he's played has been, his first 2 years at West Coast probably wasn't at a level at Geelong, but his first 2 years at Geelong were outstanding. The thing is, he hasn't had the players around him to be able to help him out. He's actually given everything to West Coast that he possibly could, but he hasn't had midfield that's deep around him.
They signed him to play with Yo, Shuey, and Nick Nat, right?
Yeah.
I think the numbers
and Gaff as well.
Gaff on the outside.
The numbers on those four playing together is like less than 30 games.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, it's just remarkable that they can't get them all in the park.
But then, with how old's Luke Shuey now?
31.
31. So they basically signed when Luke Shuey was 29.
What happens with Boots end of this year, Luke Shuey?
Yeah, I mean, you know him probably closer.
Well, he's eight off 250 or six off 250.
I think, unfortunately, the game stuff is not like West Coast. Let's say you got to 248 and West Coast aren't just going to keep him on to play two games next year.
But I think he might be, if he gets to 250 naturally, because he's back in a week or two.
Yeah.
I think he'd be content with whatever decision's made.
One thing, you can't
just medalist premiership player.
I think the next little stint for Luke Shuey, and he sounds like he's going to be back in the next 2 to 3 weeks, maybe straight after the bye, which is great, as will Nick Nat. That's the sort of the talk right now. I think their second half of the years it's really simple. If they have one more soft tissue injury, I think that's it.
Yeah.
If they can play the rest of the year out and have no injuries, then I think they could potentially have that discussion.
Put some of those guys on long-term injury list to get yourself 3 picks in the mid-season draft?
No, I reckon boys have got enough to prove themselves.
I wouldn't be worrying about the mid-season draft right now.
Not having a swing at a Jack Buller or someone from Claremont?
No. Jack Buller wouldn't be in the...
Mid-season drafts, it's great for a kid, to potentially...
John Newcombe.
There might be one. That gets a... I don't think it's great for their mental well-being, these kids. They go to an AFL list and then 12 months later, they're done again.
I read during the week that Jack Buller's only putting 6 months on his contract rather than 2 years, so he can get another contract at the end of the year longer. So he's backing himself in. He could be terrible and not get.
I don't know if I'd be advising that.
Yeah.
So he's be taking the. Some people are putting
18 months, so 6 months and a further 12 months. He said, I'll take 6 and I'll renegotiate.
Geez, that's a dangerous game to play.
Yeah.
As a tall who hasn't played on a genuine key position. Yep. Good luck when Steve May stands you and Harris Andrews stands you and Alex Pearce stands you. It's a bloody hard game and a hard position, that one.
Going to be tough. All right, so lots of problems for the Eagles. More to see here. They've got Essendon on the weekend.
Mm.
Can't see it getting any better, really.
Oh, it's another 100-point loss around that mark.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Essendon can take the piss, though, a bit. Like, they can shoot themselves in the foot when things look...
They'll
have 1,000 uncontested marks.
They're a good team, the Bombers.
You like them?
Yeah, I like them.
I'm a Zach Merritt man through and through. Yeah, I have dreams about him, mate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Best kick in the game.
His game of the weekend against Richmond was just unbelievable.
I read your mate Selby's fantasy article.
Oh, I didn't see it.
And in it, he had a couple of picks, and he's Luke Parker down, him, but my number one target. Probably Zach Merritt, even though he's break-even, and I went... On the weekend, I picked up Zach Merritt.
Yeah.
And then Luke Parker was chopping in the first half. And I was like, oh, bloody Selby
told
me to get Zach Merritt. The Essendon game happens and he's on 120 at halftime.
Yeah.
And I was like, Selby.
Is Darcy Parrish back this week for Essendon?
No. And I reckon Essendon, and Darcy Parrish is a nice player.
Yeah.
Not sure he's like, I think the grunt and stuff that went in on the weekend.
He's just a guy that racks him 30 times to the midfield. And you saw with Geelong on the weekend, if you haven't got people that can find the footy, you can't get the game played in the forward half. And regardless of how good your forward line is, the ball's not going in there properly. It makes it very difficult.
It's been a lot of West Coast stuff, but let's move to Freo.
I'm done with it. Until next Monday.
Until next Monday. But Freo are...
They're back.
Going really, really well. They were super competitive. They had that kind of pressure around the ball.
Yeah.
Their smalls of, Schultz and Switter and those guys seem back. And
but you look at the start of the season. So Brayshaw was just going. He's just turned his season around. And Luke Jackson was just going. He's turned his season right around. Alex Pearce was just going. His last few weeks have
been a lot
better. Luke
Ryan, very good over the last couple of weeks.
Much better. So they're players that were expecting to play well consistently. Caleb Sarong was the only one that was actually...
And Sonny Walters, I thought, was...
And Sonny Walters when he came
not
in.
Not at his extreme level, but just at the level that was better than the year before.
Yeah. So he's been good. Jai Amos has been, you know, like, wow, this kid could be the one that they've been searching for. He's 19 years of age.
Yeah.
Really exciting.
I know the Hawks had a good look at him.
Yeah.
A really good look before the draft.
They had all those picks that year, didn't they? Had three in a row.
Yeah, Erasmus.
Erasmus and Matty Johnson.
Matty Johnson.
I really like Matty Johnson. So he went pick, I think, 20. He was the first pick of the second round. Yeah. And West Coast took Chessa, who they reached for. And the pick before him was Ben Hobbs, the Eagles could have taken. And they went for Chessa, and then Johnson was on the board. So hopefully Chessa can get a bit of a run at it. Freo play Melbourne this week. It's a bit of a tough kind
Freo
of run
Freo had a good run. Yeah. In footy embers. Sometimes you go, and I was saying on air the other day, Lance Franklin's been out, prime Lance Franklin as an example, been out for a month. Please miss one more, please miss one more, please miss one more. And Lance Franklin's back, you're like, oh, far out. Why does he have to play against us? At the moment, you get it both ways. You get the run where teams have players missing, you get the run where teams bring back the stars when you're playing them. Fremantle having a good run at the moment. Yep. Geelong were depleted on the weekend with about 8 of their starting 22 not playing. Clary Oliver news with the hamstrings, a massive one, exciting stuff.
Oh, I think, and remember, there was last year they had a really good win against Melbourne, maybe round 10, 11 at the MCG.
Yeah, okay, they're getting smacked in the first half.
And they came back and knocked them off. Yeah. Oh, I think the timing now is actually starting to become quite good for
good
Fremantle. They're
in form. Did you see Sam Edmund on socials yesterday said that Clary's still a chance to play?
No, that was a confusing tweet. I don't think it was. Strange, wasn't it? Recovering well, but still set to miss month. I don't know. Yeah. He's not playing.
Fremantle can win this game again.
Of course they can.
Yeah. I think they...
And they'll be well over. Are they $3?
Oh, there has to
probably
be three
at least, yeah. Because Melbourne were good for, a quarter last weekend, and that quarter was...
Melbourne have been a lot better team at the MCG. They've struggled a bit in the wet at Adelaide. Remember they...
3-17.
3-17 against Essendon in Gather Round. They got absolutely smacked by the Bombers in Adelaide, and then Port Adelaide.
So back on Freo, there's a few things they've changed from the start.
Yeah.
So they're trying to ruck with Sean Darcy and Jackson. They've been that. Now Jackson's playing much better and Sean Darcy's dominating.
Yeah.
And they've got their forward structure right now that Matty Tabanar's injured and out of there.
Yeah.
I think playing the three talls and sort of Tracy up the ground a bit.
And I reckon someone's had a chat with JL, and I'm really glad. I reckon it would have been Belly to say around the Nat Fyfe scenario. So JL was so strong on Nat Fyfe becoming a forward. Right.
Well, so was everybody.
Everyone
was.
But we have seen right now.
I'm looking at it right now. I've got him kicking 40 or something in my account.
I try and cash out. I can't get it.
I just want it out of my account.
deserves to play in any position that he wants to, in my opinion. It's the way that, you know, Richmond have, you know, dealt with the Dusty situation. You know, Dusty, just go and, you know, if you want to play midfield for a bit. If you want to push inside forward 50, but don't pigeonhole Nat Fyfe into forward 50, because he was so important when he came on. Some of his, you know, contested possessions around the contest were outstanding. Mm. And he brought other players into the game. So I think it's absolutely brilliant that Nat Fyfe can go in there and play, you know, as an on-baller and then push forward a little bit. He's still, obviously, with his goal kicking, is a bit of an issue. So let him just run around, get the confidence around the midfield, and then push forward when he has to.
I got that one wrong. I thought he'd play forward and could be
I thought he was a hindrance in the midfield there for a little while.
But I think they've taken Will Brody out.
Yeah, Will Brody out's helped.
And Omira's playing
more forward.
He's
the king walker. And I was big on Will Brody, but I had the eyes pinned on him one day, and I was like, he's just walking
but
everywhere.
But it helps Brayshaw. See, Brayshaw's a better player because he's an outside midfielder.
Yeah.
So when you've got someone like Nat Fyfe win a contested possession, it means that Brayshaw doesn't have to actually start to go in there and get the footy himself. He can go, you know what, I'm back in Omira, I'm back in Sarong, I'm back in Nat Fyfe to win the footy for me, so I can actually start to play the role that I play really well.
I reckon it took him a while to get used to not having Blake Akers. I reckon he's an underrated player.
And Dave Mundy's a great example. Yeah. Like, Nat Fyfe's almost playing the Dave Mundy role of last year, which they've missed.
If you think about, so Brody and Mundy comes out, then Fyfe has to go in there. But I was watching Ethan Hughes in the weekend, taking him a while to get the role, and James Aish on the wing as well.
Yeah.
I reckon Akers running up and down that wing defensively and also staying outside, it's taken a while to realise how to play that role.
The importance
for him.
Of that role, yeah. Yeah, no, they're going good.
All right, just before we finish up, how did you pull up from your half marathon?
I pulled up actually surprisingly
I bought you one of these. Do you want any, Flam? No, dead set.
I've actually been having a lot of magnesium. You know what I did get is I got one of the worst headaches. I was so dehydrated.
Oh, yeah.
And it was actually funny because we rocked up about 6 a.m. and there was all the port-a-loos, right? And every single person was lining up, right? Because they'd done the right thing.
Yeah.
And I said to the bloke next to me, I said, well, the one positive about not being hydrated is I actually don't have to go for a PIWS.
So you drink more beforehand, do you?
Yeah, so you just hydrate yourself, of course, because, you know, you're running 21K. So a lot of people the night before, you know, get the carbohydrates into them, you know, make sure that, you know, their fluids right up.
What did you do? You
gotta start, I did nothing. I had a bottle of red. Seriously, I had a bottle of red when I got home for the footy and went and ran 21Ks. Yeah. This really nice guy next to me, his name was Jeremy.
So you ran together with someone?
No, mate. There was 30,000 people. Everyone just took off.
And I just took off.
I had a couple of the one thing I will say is that you never judge a book by its cover. Yeah. I had a couple of, you know, sort of heavyweights.
Oh, yeah.
Boys and girls run past me. I used them as a bit of a block win for a while, but then they just kept getting ahead of me. But mate, listen, I actually enjoyed it. It was good fun. I slowed it down, but I got through and didn't stop.
Didn't stop once.
No,
did you stop and get a drink? Like, did you get
I was running, trying to get the little glass of water and just, you know, pour her on my...
Oh, I sat behind a girl. I only did the 4K. Did my hammy the last 500. Timmed the hammy.
Did you run it?
Yeah, finished. No, because you know the start's downhill.
Yeah.
And it's so like people everywhere. So you're like digging your legs in and, you know, got the brakes on. Then I finally opened up and the string went. But I sat behind a young girl. I think she would have been 25.
Yeah.
And all I saw was the London, she had a London branded jumper tied around her waist.
Yeah.
And my eyes were just on that head down the whole way, just trucking along.
And then the jumper just got further and further away from you.
No, we passed it. Oh, did you? Yeah, rounded her up. See you later.
Jeez, she must have not been going well with the busted hammy.
West Coast and Essendon this weekend live on Triple M, which we'll be calling, and the Dockers take on Melbourne. Good luck to both sides. We'll catch you next week. Hopefully less controversy to talk about.
The Dockers are roaring back into this one.
That's all from the Western Huddle this week. Listen Tuesday next week for your dose of everything AFL. 92.9 Triple M, Perth.